Ready to start talking to your kids about financial literacy? Meet Greenlight, the debit card and money app that teaches kids and teens how to earn, save, spend wisely, and invest with your guardrails in place. Parents can send instant money transfers, automate allowance, and more. Plus, keep an eye on spending with real-time notifications. Join more than 6 million families building healthy financial habits together on Greenlight. Get your first month free at greenlight.com/odyssey. That's greenlight.com/odyssey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
1, 2, 3, 4. Hello and welcome into the 24/7 Sports Football Recruiting Podcast. I'm national recruiting analyst Cooper Pataka alongside the 24/7 Sports Director of Scouting, Andrew Ivins. And Drew, it is National Signing Day. I guess we're calling it late signing day. The early signing period has now kind of become the default signing period. We've talked a lot about you, your first cycle going through this. You finally kind of get to put the cherry on top of this thing. But we got a really good topic this morning that I think our audience is going to like. We're going to talk about a couple of classes that we want to highlight for a positive review outside of the top 10, and maybe hit on one outside of the top 25 as well. But Drew, big day for you. You're in Nashville. How you doing, my friend?
I'm doing good. Ready to just move on to the 2024 cycle, but this is signing day. It's crazy how things have changed. And I know we talked about it earlier in the week, but what, over 90% of the guys signed. It just feels like this is kind of, the day is not what it used to be. Which I think we expected, but it is what it is.
There used to be so much hype around this day. Like growing up as a kid, I remember like when I was in high school and, you know, being from New Orleans, one of the guys that I remember, one of my favorite signing day stories, and it wasn't a positive one, was Joe McKnight from New Orleans. You know, that was the standout, the five-star All-American. We always wondered where he was going to go, and LSU was in it. And USC was in it, and that was Pete Carroll in his heyday right after Reggie Bush. And he kind of shocked the world and went out to LA. And, you know, like I don't feel that anymore, right? There's not like we're waking up and we're kind of waiting for that big announcement. And it used to seem like a lot of these recruitments, and there's our fair share of drama, right? Like we've covered Cormani McClain and Jaden Rashada here the last couple of weeks, but just doesn't feel as big. You know, like, and I'm not even really talking about February, but some of these recruitments, I just feel like they play out earlier and earlier in the cycle.
Yeah, it is. But I even just go back to like last year. Remember we had Shamar Stewart at the deadline, Trevante Citizen at the deadline. It's just, I'm just trying to put my thumb on what changed in 12 months. Is it like NIL, the transfer portal? Like, I don't know. I mean, it's just something I've been thinking about how, and there's still some big ones out there. Nicholas Harbor coming off the board, Deuce Robinson coming off the board, Roderick Pleasant, the Harris twins. But really, I mean, it's a handful of guys. It's crazy.
All right. Well, let's get into it. Let's talk about a couple of teams that have caught our eyes. And I want to start with you. And I think we're on the same page with this one, but a team just outside of the top 10 and a team just outside of the top 15, that is South Carolina. Shane Beamer has done a remarkable job on the recruiting trail. And people, you know, who are maybe, I hate using this term, the Josh Pate term, but are a little bit more casual, right? And you're looking at South Carolina and you're looking at them at number 16. Maybe there's not a lot to see there. But if you look at what South Carolina has done in the past, I believe they finished in the top 25 last year, which we thought was significant for them. A year later, you turn another chapter of the book, and here they are banging on the door of the top 15. Drew, I know you love their class. What are a couple of reasons why?
Yeah, so I think we kind of brainstormed this idea, right? Let's show some love to some classes outside of the top 10, and I think we're going to get into a few outside the top 25. And South Carolina is a group where I saw a lot of their kids in Orlando at the Under Armour All-America game. So that's kind of the basis in my thought behind this. And then you dig into the class, and I think it's a bunch of potential difference makers and guys that can have an impact in the SEC. And why is that important if you're listening to this podcast? Well, South Carolina, they're in the SEC. They're going to play the Georgias. They're going to play the Floridas. And we'll see what the divisions look like when they add Oklahoma and Texas, or how they shuffle up the schedule. But, you know, they're playing in the premier conference, quote unquote. And Shane Beamer, I think, is just doing a great job of getting talent. You mentioned last year that they signed a top 25 group. I think a lot of people forget in 2021, they signed what I believe was the worst recruiting class in the history of the SEC. They finished 80th, right? 80th. That was Beamer's first year. Everyone was kind of scratching their head. Hey, what is this guy doing? Fast forward 2 years, and now they have a group that's 16th on, as we start Wednesday morning. I mean, there's going to be some movement. I don't think they're going to shoot into the top 10, but that's where they are. And it would be their best recruiting class since 2012, which was the first year 24/7 Sports started doing rankings. That's when they finished 15th. I love this group. Seven guys from Georgia, seven guys from South Carolina, four from Florida. I think it's kind of loaded on the defensive side of the ball. And I think the real strength of the class is on the offensive line. I think they got four future multi-year starters, or guys that could be multi-year starters. Olatosin Babalade, I think I nailed that. I watched a few YouTube videos just to prepare it. The guy we called Tree, that was a big win. Top 247 defensive lineman out of the DMV. You know, he was committed to South Carolina, decommitted, visited Maryland. Cooper, I pointed out in the past that the Maryland-South Carolina beef on the recruiting trail is it's pretty intense.
So weird. I mean, I get it from like a geographical standpoint, but those are two teams like you would never expect to like tangle.
Right. So Tree, we love. We got him in the top 247, 82-inch wingspan, size 16 shoes, 485 on the shuttle. Shane Beamer, I guess, kind of in the days leading up to signing day, climbed into a tree in his front yard and was FaceTiming Tree, just showing him how much he wanted him, trying to drive home some points. So that was an awesome signing day storyline. I like him. Another guy probably no one on this podcast has heard of unless you are a South Carolina fan. Jatavius Shivers, he's a lineman out of Atlanta, or outside of Atlanta, right there in Georgia. Over 6'7". He's got an 83-inch wing. So I think they got two potential bookend tackles, Marquise Anderson, Trovon Baugh in the middle. That's the O-line group. It starts in the trenches, and I think that group's good. And then when you kind of expand out, Lenora Sellers is a quarterback that they flipped from Syracuse late, was a riser in the rankings for us. Super talented athlete, can run the football. I don't know what direction to go here, but I do like this group for Shane Beamer. And that's kind of the bottom line. Like, I think this is the step in the right direction. And at the end of the day, not only do you got to build out the trenches, but you got to stack recruiting class on top of recruiting class. That's how you build out your two deep, and then supplement with the transfer portal. So I think what Shane Beamer has done isn't being talked about probably enough on a national level.
I think from let's take this two ways, right? Let's look at it from a micro level way, and let's evaluate the class for what it is. And I think you hit on it. I think what they did on the defensive side of the ball is what stands out to me the most. I mean, guys like Desmond Umiazulu, right, who are knocking on the door of top 100 status at the end of the day. And we really like this guy. Being able to get him out of the DMV, 6'6", 240 pounds plus, these are the type of guys you have to win on, especially in those areas. You know, outside of that, Xavier McLeod was another guy that Georgia, Miami were battling for. So to be able to keep a guy like that home, Marquis Anderson, the same deal on the opposite side of the ball, right? Those were big wins. And Andrew, we don't really talk about this guy a lot, but we did earlier in the process because I believe he was one of your personal favorite prospects. And it was kind of this battle we saw between Shane Beamer and Billy Napier and Grayson Pup Howard, right? But you think about that front seven, what they're doing there. Monique Rames, I didn't even really talk about him, but another 6'5", 240-pound plus, kind of frame, height, weight, speed guy, bubbling with potential. And then Bakari Swain, who I know I have to mention because I there's a lot of love there behind the curtains at 24/7 Sports for Bakari Swain, Kelton Henderson. The list goes on and on. And I think the biggest thing for me is, you know, they have 12 early enrollees and other guys, another 10 guys that have already signed. Top to bottom, I thought this was a really complete class. And that is really what impressed me. The other part that you said that you mentioned at the end was being able to stack recruiting classes on top of each other. And I think for South Carolina, now what they've done, not only in recruiting, but on the field as well, they've had seasons where their trajectory, consecutive seasons where the arrow continues to point up, right? This year, big win at home against a top 10 Tennessee team. And then to end the season beating a team like Clemson for the first time in however many years, obviously very significant for Shane Beamer in South Carolina. And for me, you want to see that reflected on the recruiting trail. And I think in the last 2 years, we've seen that. The first year under Beamer going 7-6 was a little bit of a surprise, winning the Duke's Mayo Bowl. And then seeing the success that they had this year, you know, I mentioned the wins against Tennessee and Clemson. That is huge for them in the grand scheme of things. I love what they're doing. And like Lenore Sellers, if you don't know anything about him, I thought that was actually a pretty big win for them to be able to be able to get him in the boat and get a guy like that behind Spencer Rattler that you feel has some developmental qualities. So a lot to like there. Drew, any final thoughts on South Carolina?
No, you mentioned Pop Howard. Jalen Kilgore is another guy we like in South Carolina, kind of was in on him early. I think they've done a good job of identifying talent, getting it on campus. You know, Pop Howard, one of the more unique individuals. He didn't even fly to his official visit. He drove, I think it was like 6 hours from Jacksonville to Columbia, South Carolina, not even in a car service. You don't kind of hear that. And I think he's getting guys that are building into what he's doing. And Shane Beamer, as weird as he's been in terms of like quirky stuff on social media, you know, he did the photo at, was it Bojangles that Steve Spurrier did? And then this year he did that, the video with the sunglasses at SEC Media Day right before that. I think kids relate to him. And I'll point out as we pivot to the next team, but South Carolina, if you look at the 2024 rankings, they're sitting number 9 right now. They've had a big few days. They've added over the past 2 weeks, I want to say, they've added 3 top 247 players: Cam Pringle, offensive lineman from the state; Michael Smith, the tight end out of Savannah; and then Wendell Gregory, an off-ball linebacker from in Georgia. So it's not just what they're doing in 2023. I think in 2024, they could once again have a top 25 class.
Give those guys a lot of credit. Taylor Edwards, the director of player personnel over there. I mentioned that name because I think the early identification and evaluation process has been pretty darn good if you're a Gamecocks fan as well. All right, Drew, drum roll for mine. And this is one that maybe caught you by surprise. I feel like our teams, like typically the team that I'm going to pick here, I'm going to just say it, Florida State, right? Ranked at number 20. That's a you pick. And South Carolina is such a me pick. So it's pretty funny to find us on opposite sides here. But Florida State, you always talked about this class and you said you really liked this class, right? It might not be like a headliner class in terms of being a top 10 class for Mike Norvell, but you combine it with what they continue to do in the transfer portal right now, the number 2 transfer portal class, according to 24/7 Sports. You know I love Hakeem Williams, and you know what I think about him, but that has all the makings of a wide receiver one, and if it comes together, I think it can be pretty special. Lucas Simmons, another guy that we have in our top 64 in our day two range with day one traits, right? And if the game continues to slow down for him, I really like the situation that he's going into with Alex Atkins in Tallahassee. I think he can grow and develop organically there. And I thought this was the best fit for him altogether. And he had a lot of options. So for Florida State to be able to hold on to a talent like that, we talked a little bit about Brock Glenn a week ago, right? Comparing guys to Brock Purdy, who could be that next guy. I think you drop him in there, and this is a guy that really just knows how to navigate and facilitate an offense, right? It has really good command of that. And if you're talking about surrounding him with guys like Hakeem Williams, Vandrevious Jacobs, Darren Goldie Lawrence, I think that makes a lot of sense, right? And then on the defensive side of the ball, huge fan of Conrad Hussey. You and I have talked about him. I thought that was a really big win for them down the stretch, flipping him from Penn State. They get Blake Nicholson all the way out from the state of California. KJ Sampson, who we really like out of the state of North Carolina, big, active interior presence. And then Edwin Joseph, I just feel like we haven't talked about him. I kind of developed a late scouting crush on him later in the process once you kind of brought him to our attention. But, I mean, you look at the quality it takes here. There's a lot to work with in Tallahassee. Last guy I'll mention out of Mississippi, Quindarius Jones. I got to see him at Alabama, Mississippi. He's a little bit raw, but you love the size. You love the clay. I think this is a guy that's going to develop into a starting safety after 2 to 3 years in the program, right? So I really like the job that Mike Norvell and Florida State did in this 2023 cycle.
I shared a sideline with Mike Norvell down here in Fort Lauderdale after they beat LSU in that game, which was a monster win for a variety of different reasons. And we saw how the season progressed, but just talking with him, you know, exchanging thoughts and notes on kids. And I kind of asked him about his strategy at the time. Florida State's class was, you know, how many high schoolers is it right now? It's not a lot, right? 16 or 17. I think they were sitting around 12, and we talked about what they did in the transfer portal. And I said, hey, do you think you have kind of the formula figured out in terms of how many high school kids you want to take, and then how many veterans you want to bring in every year, just given your guys' success and what you've been able to do with Jermaine Johnson. I mean, Jared Verse, Jordan Travis, that was a veteran guy they got from somewhere. And he told me that they just want to get good football players. That's what it's going to come down to, bringing in good football players, whether that kid has been at another Power 5 program, a Group of 5 program, or they're playing high school football. And I do think when you look at this class, it's not super big, right? It's not one of these monster 30-person classes, but I don't see a bunch of takes where I'm like, hey, I don't get this one. You just rattled off all the headliners you like, and, you know, not to flex here, but, you know, what about some of these guys that a lot of people don't know about? KJ Kirkland, kid out of Jacksonville, you know, he's a big DB pushing 6'2", kid I've seen a ton on the camp circuit, right? He, you know, wasn't challenged a ton on Friday nights, but I've seen him in coverage. I think that guy has NFL traits, and we have him outside of the top 247, but I really like him. Another guy kind of in the same mold, Jabril Rawls, a kid they took off Florida's panhandle. I was at the Florida State's elite camp, and, you know, they worked him out. Mike Norvell was kind of following him around. They made that evaluation. He goes on to have a monster season. And then the one I want to see what happens with is Andre Otto, which I'm upset because 24/7 Sports didn't send me down to Key West to scout this kid. He's in the Conch Republic, the biggest recruit to ever come out of Key West, and two-way lineman, could have went to Stanford, was looking at going to Princeton, and he's going to play for Alex Atkins, and saw him in the camp setting as well. So bottom line, I think there's depth across the board. I think they're adding talent at premium positions, right? So offensive tackle, big play wide receiver, defensive back. Some of those positions are pretty hard to get guys out of the transfer portal, right? Everyone's fighting for the same dudes. So I think they're doing a really good job. And I'll end with this on Florida State. They're number 3 right now in the class of 2024. I don't know if that's a theme for this entire exercise, but we like what they have committed in the following cycle as well. Just saw one of their guys, Cam Davis, up there at Orlando Pylon. We've talked about Luke Cromanoak, the quarterback. So just something to marinate on.
We're going to take a quick break. Keep it locked to the 24/7 Sports Football Recruiting Podcast.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Introducing the two-way V4, where groundbreaking fuel cell technology meets fresh foam cushioning for the ultimate performance. With fuel cell, each step feels explosive, delivering unparalleled energy return. Paired with fresh foam, experience maximum comfort throughout the game. Its lightweight textile upper offers support and breathability without sacrificing agility. Whether you're hitting the clutch shot or locking down the opposition, the two-way V4 gives you the tools to play at a high level. Learn more and purchase the two-way for yourself at newbalance.com.
All right, Drew, real quick, got to plug the show. Guys, we appreciate you listening to the 24/7 Sports Football Recruiting Podcast. Please, if you haven't done so already, make sure you subscribe. You can also leave a rating as well. You can find us anywhere you find your podcast, Apple, Spotify, and pretty much anywhere else. So we appreciate you guys listening. I think we're what, Drew, week three into this, right? Feels like we've been doing it a lot longer, but only week three for us. All right, the next two teams are going to be two teams I think we decided outside of the top 25 that really kind of caught our eye a little bit. And, you know, I'm gonna start with you on this one. And this is a team that I think really around the draft, we start to talk about a little bit more, right? And then with Brett Bielema up there in Illinois, if you didn't know who we're talking about, that's who we're talking about. But he's had a lot of success in Florida. And you look at this class and it doesn't jump off the page to you, right? Number 41 in the 24/7 Sports composite team rankings, but you kind of like a little of the mix of what they brought in this cycle.
I do. And Illinois is always one where I don't want to say you do a double take when they offer someone, but they too, really good evaluators. One of the top freshmen in all of college football this past year, Gabe Akis was a kid from the Sunshine State. We had a 3-star grade on him, and he played his tail off. I think PFF consistently graded him out. So you always, when they offer someone, you kind of look at it and you study it. Senior Bowl is going on right now. Coop, I think they got three guys there in Mobile, three defensive backs, all from the state of Florida. The Big Three didn't offer any of them. We've talked about that in one of our shows, Airways, at one point, about the fact that they had those guys. Kirby Joseph for the Detroit Lions had an excellent season or a solid season for a rookie. I think he had three interceptions in one of those games I was watching. He's a kid from Orlando, flew under the radar. So they have a – I hate the term like they find some hidden gems, but it seems like Illinois has a knack for doing that. Brett, since he's come there, they've gone around the country and found talent. I mean, they got eight guys from in the state, but five from Florida in this recruiting class, two from Michigan, two from New Jersey, a kid out of Louisiana, a couple junior college kids from Mississippi. So it's a diverse group, and they're expanding that brand. I mean, it's Illinois, and they had a heck of a season. Just a few guys I want to highlight. I'm going to let you talk about Malik Elzey because you saw him a bunch at the All-American Bowl. He actually announced for the Illini there during that NBC broadcast. We thought he had a great week. We actually awarded him a 4th star there at the buzzer. But two from Florida, Kenari Wiltshire. He's a kid at Moorhaven High School, which is kind of by the Okeechobee River. He had a ridiculous senior season. I originally believe Illinois was tracking him as a defensive back. Well, they might let him play receiver. He caught 58 passes, 1,500 yards, 15 touchdowns. Really nice take. Don't think that's a school that a ton of programs will check out when they make the rounds in South Florida, but Illinois did. They found him. And then the other guy, Calvin Smith, if you're looking for a candidate to be the next Gabe Akis, I think it's this kid. He is a 6'3" edge rusher, explosive individual who really came on late as a senior, 19.5 sacks. And that's such an important indicator. You know, was reading some NFL draft stuff the other day, and they pointed out, you know, at the end of the day, you can talk about upside this and that, but, you know, you have to get to the quarterback if you're an edge player, and 19.5 sacks and Florida's highest classification is pretty dang impressive. 6'9" wingspan on him. Another solid take for Illinois. And they got junior college guys. You know, Brett's going to stock those trenches with individuals. Cal Swanson, our buddy Tom Loy, friend of the podcast, who covers Notre Dame, he always is watching QBs, and he continues to consistently bring up Cal to me. So I like this group. You know, again, it's sitting 41 in the rankings, right? A lot of people are going to be like, all right, you know, who cares? But I would not be shocked if 2, 3, 4 of these guys get drafted. And then I think it's a group that's going to allow them to continue to remain competitive there in the Big Ten.
It's such a niche, like, recruiting blueprint, right? Especially like geographically, Illinois, not known as a state that year in and year out produces Sunday talent, but 8 guys from the state of Illinois, which I think is pretty healthy, 5 from Florida and the Sunshine State, like you mentioned. And then outside of that, it's just kind of, you're like peppering it nationally, right? It seems like a little bit more spot recruiting in a place like Illinois. With the job that Brett Bielema has done, you start to elevate the profile a little bit, and you start to carry a little bit more weight. You can get into some of these areas. You mentioned Louisiana, Mississippi, Missouri as well, and then New Jersey in the Northeast. So pretty fascinating in terms of, like, when you take a look under the hood.
Yeah, that's a good term.
How Illinois kind of gets to their end result there. But, you know, two names for me, I'm not incredibly well educated on this Illinois class, but two guys that were in San Antonio that I need to mention, Malik Elzey was one of them. You talked about him, the big receiver, 6'2", 200 pounds plus from Chicago. I thought he had a really good week. Physical, strong at the catch point, and strong as a runner as well.
Illinois, they want to play smash mouth football, right? They want to run the rock. Like, that's what they're going to do. And to me, Malik is the perfect perimeter player for that system and that brand of football. Is he a burner? No. Does he have a full-on top-end gear? No. At least not now. We'll see what he looks like 2, 3 years in a college strength program. You can always get more explosive, but he can win balls on the outside. And I think that's the perfect fit for him. He was awesome at Overtime's OT7 event. Back in Las Vegas in the summer months. So not to cut you off, I just think he fits what they want to do. Like, Illinois knows who they are and what they're going to go get.
He's a Big Ten style receiver, you know, and that's a game that you turn on in late November, December, and that guy's kind of made for that time of year. The other guy is David Alano, the kicker, you know, another Illinois in-state product, but man, he had a great week in San Antonio. And listen, it's almost like during the game, it's almost like a practice simulation, right? In terms of special teams and field goal attempts. So there really wasn't a lot of pressure on him. I think he twice from 40 plus, one of those being 50 plus. So he certainly has the leg, and he kind of impressed all week. And hey, here we are talking about kickers. You never know, right? I mean, you got to have one. We saw the importance of that last night in the AFC Championship.
Their punter too. He, you know, I kind of do our specialist rankings. The punter, he could have worked his way onto the freaks list. This guy's like does discus, shot put, big into weightlifting. I mean, I don't want to go down this road, but yeah, the special teams room there in at Illinois is stocked with talent.
Honest question, Andrew, like when do you find time to research Illinois' punter as a potential freak list candidate?
Well, I ranked them, you know, I think a few years ago, our rankings process on the special list was not, I don't know, it was
up to snuff.
Yeah, it wasn't vetted. I wasn't happy. And I was like, all right, you know what? I'm just going to start watching these guys and getting the statistical information. And then, you know, you start going down a wormhole and then, you know, it is what it is.
Okay. All right. Let's wrap it up here. A little 2-minute drill down the stretch. Ole Miss, that's mine, number 33, right? They're transferred to the SIP. That's what Lane Kiffin wants to be. He wants to be the number one transfer destination program in the country. He's done a tremendous job of that. And you look at what they've done on the high school end, you can't just gloss over it. They're ranked number 33. They only have 13. They have 12 signees, one commitment. But I love what they did at the top. You know, Suntareen Perkins, who they had to battle Alabama for down the stretch. Obviously, I think a lot of people who have listened to the show know how we feel about Suntareen Perkins, but I think he is a day one impact player, ended up a top 32 player for us. The other guy that you and I talked about a lot that I think the bottom line was just like, he's going to be a very good player at the next level, and he already is. And I would not be shocked if he's playing early in Oxford, Aiden Williams. You just love his game. And you go back to him, and for those of you who don't know the profile on Aiden Williams, out of the state of Mississippi, 6'3", 195 pounds.
I think he weighs more than that.
Sure, and he's going to play his football well over 200 pounds at the next level, probably closer to 210 once he fills out his frame. But, man, smooth route runner, sudden, in and out of his breaks, understands how to attack leverage, and then he has this big physical frame. And he attacks the football. I think the first time I saw him was a year ago in January at Battle 7-on-7 in New Orleans. And I'm like, who is this guy? And then you and I got to see him at the Future 50 in July. And, you know, there were some, I don't want to say speed concerns, but we wondered how he would hold up in that setting. He had no issue at all. And he had a great day there, was a top performer for us. So I love him. And then there's Kedrick Riscano, who's been turning a lot of heads this postseason, especially out in the Polynesian Bowl in Hawaii. So think about what they have at the running back position already, a guy like Quinshon Judkins. You had Riscano in there, another really powerful inside runner. It's a really nice mix. I thought the other guy that was a mixed bag of a week, but I actually really liked the traits, was Braxton Myers out of Texas. I thought that was a really good get. Jamarius Brown, I can go down the line. We saw at Alabama, Mississippi, a little bit undersized, but super productive, a guy that you want on the interior. And then Bryson Sanders just like screams Ole Miss offensive lineman to me. Dirt dog, doesn't blow you away physically, but just super versatile, nasty at the point of attack. Like, that's what you want, right? And that's a guy that's going to excel in that conference. So take a look at what Ole Miss has done. Another guy, Javonte Connor, who used to be out of the state of Alabama, finished his ball in North Carolina. Ole Miss has done a really good job with these kind of like tweener, heavier set pass catchers, more like H-backs in their passing game. So I think that's another name to note. But listen, if you're going to lean heavier into the portal, what that means is the quality of takes has to ascend at the high school level, right? And I think they did that.
Can we get a definition on dirt dog?
Dirt dog just likes to mix it up. Maybe a dog that lives under the house. I had a dog that lived under the house, black lab, called him Paws. He was a dirt dog. Okay. Got his hands on everything. Squirrels. I mean, you name it. You know, okay. Crows, whatever. That's a dirt dog right there.
Okay.
He's a dirt dog. He's a big nasty, big ugly, whatever you want to call him.
Adding
very, very loose definition.
Okay, adding it to the lexicon here. 12 high schoolers. You said it. I think what stands out to me about the Ole Miss class, they got the top two players in the state of Mississippi, right? Suntareen, Aiden Williams. You mentioned Aiden Williams, all that exposure to him. I actually saw him when he was like a sophomore at Florida's Friday Night Lights camp. He had red hair at the time. You could not miss him. And big reason why he signed with the Rebels, Kelvin Bolden, guy works in the recruiting department. He was recruiting Aiden to Florida and got him to Ole Miss. I agree with everything you said. I think if you are listening to the podcast and you're trying to picture what Aiden Williams looks like, just think about any Ole Miss wide receiver that's playing on Sundays. Like, he fits that mold. He's just a big, rocked up individual. You said it. He's only going to get bigger. Would not be surprised to see him in there. Two other guys I just wanted to highlight that you didn't even bring up. I mean, we've basically gone 1 to 12 here. Ahmad Brown, safety out of Georgia. He is at a extremely small town. Lane Kiffin actually tweeted out, I think they landed at the private airport there in Crisp County, which is in Cordell, Georgia. I watched his senior tape, loved it. Plays quarterback, wide receiver, 11.09 in the 100, also a basketball guy. He's just a football player. Clemson was in on him, a guy that no one's talking about, but I think can play multiple spots on the back end for the Rebels. You just kind of find a role for him and let him blossom. And then finally, Caden Lee, they call him Honeycomb because of his hair. Just a super productive pass catcher in Georgia. Excellent route runner. They beat out UCF for him. So they got Aiden Williams, who used to have red hair. I think he had blue hair as well at one point. And they got Caden Lee, who they call Honeycomb because of his locks of love right there. So I'm jealous of the hair that they got bringing to Oxford.
I mean, I'm looking at a picture of Caden Lee right now. I don't think I've seen or heard a more appropriate nickname. I mean,
yeah, it's like the best nickname.
That just makes way too much sense right there. So shout out to whoever came up with the nickname for Caden Lee. All right, Andrew. So as we're putting our finishing touches on 2023, that means we are officially moving on to the class of 2024. And you kind of came up with this idea, but, you know, just to get everybody kind of slowly moving this direction, right? And as we are closing the book to 2023, it's time. We got to start moving in that direction, right? 2024, me included. And I'm playing a little bit of catch up. So are you. I think you got a pretty good feel for it. But each of us, we pick one prospect that we want to highlight that is our favorite recruit in the class of 2024 so far. And I will say it is very early, and I am not shocked by yours at all.
That's because I've seen him back-to-back weekends look like he's probably the best high school receiver I've ever seen. Jeremiah Smith, get familiar with the name. After we discussed on the podcast his performance at Battle Miami, and I know people are going to roll their eyes. Oh, it's 7-on-7. I mean, this kid does it on Friday nights at Chaminade Madonna Prep. He was just awesome at Battle Miami. Then I see him at Pylon Orlando, and it's like a cheat code. And I compare Jeremiah to Julio Jones. I wrote that, and he read that story, or he saw the video where I talked about it, and then he tweeted out, don't compare me to anyone. So I pulled him aside in Orlando, and I'm like, I can't win. You know, everyone's pissed at me that a kid's not ranked high enough. Now I'm comparing you to a Pro Bowler, and you're all pissed off about it. And he kind of just laughed and said that, you know, he's far from a complete product and all that stuff. Coop, I don't know if you've seen the highlights of this kid from the weekend. I was just there on Saturday. I mean, circus catch after circus catch. And then on Sunday, he made one of the nastiest one-handers ever. He's got big mitts. He's like the surest thing, I think, so far for me in the 2024 cycle. We talked about Caleb Downs being like a safe bet in the class of 2023. Brandon Ennis in that same category, like Jeremiah Smith, I don't think we can go wrong. And people will try to poke holes and maybe the top end speed. This kid made it to regional qualifier in the 110 and 300 hurdles as a freshman. His cousins, Geno Smith, like he just checks off all the boxes. So me, Jeremiah Smith, I'm super interested to see who you say here so far is your early favorite.
Well, you're looking at the rundown. I got like three options here, but you know, I wanted to go outside of the box a little bit. I have like an insurance policy, and then I have my actual favorite, right? So my actual favorite is Elijah Brown. I just love his game. and I love his disposition, and I love the way he plays the game. And this is not a guy that is going to really blow you away physically in terms of the traits. That being said, in terms of playing the position and the command of the position, ultra efficient. I mean, we're talking about a guy over a 70% completion rate playing at modern day against elite level competition, has only lost one game. I believe it was a state championship against St. John Bosco, right? His most recent game. So I love everything about him. And I think there's been a lot of dialogue behind the scenes at 24/7 Sports. Where does he kind of fit in terms of the big picture? How do we really navigate through his physical upside or lack thereof of physical upside? To me, yes, there are some, I don't want to say some things in question, but it's not the physical tools that are elevating him. It's the cerebral game within the game and the command of it. And he's a guy every Friday that I just watch. I did the same thing with Bryce Young at the University of Washington when I was there. We had him cut up every week. And earlier in his career at modern day, there was a lot of interest between Bryce Young and Washington. That faded over time. I would still watch him every week because I just loved him. He was one of the most entertaining evaluations. Plus, I felt like I learned something every week about, all right, this is what elite-level quarterback play looks like. And I'm not saying that with Elijah Brown, but when you have a guy like that playing in the Trinity League and every week is important, that level of competition, I enjoy it. So he's one of my favorite guys to watch. The other guy that, like, I want to get ahead of here, right? Because it kind of seems like Yanze Pierre a little bit, but I don't want to say we've learned, right? Like, the biggest thing at the end of the day is that we get it right, right? When it counts. But Jordan Ross is better positioned at this point than Yanze Pierre was. And edge rusher from Vestavia Hills in Alabama, 6'3" and a half, quick twitch, explosive, can go speed to power, a little raw, but plays with his hair on fire and fast. And I think this guy is going to be a big mover for us. So those are my two. That's my insurance policy there. The other guy that I know we're going to talk about at length going forward in this process is Austin Mack, quarterback out of Sacramento, Northern California. I think when you're looking for physical traits, right, this is going to be a guy that, like, just continues to ascend up the board for those reasons. And regardless of whether he maybe has some blemishes on the resume or maybe some things that he needs to correct, a lot of people are going to come back to Austin Mack, look at the frame, look at the physical talent with the arm. And that's going to be a guy that, you know, if he continues to progress, he only has a 1 year sample size, but it was a productive year. It's going to be a guy that I can continue to see, like, strap a rocket to the back of him and work his way up the board, right? If he keeps with this upward trajectory. So I know you gave me one. Proud of you for doing that. I gave you three, but those are my three right there.
Love it. Love it. Love it. Love it. We'll talk. We've already talked a little about Austin Mack and making a commitment depending on when you're listening to this podcast, but his weightlifting stuff, you know, I'm a guy that's into the weightlifting. Impressive, snatching 200 pounds at 6'7", pretty difficult to do. So let's get out of here, but love the list.
Let's get out of here, man. Congrats on your first, or I don't even know, what would you call this, second signing day? I mean, I guess it's second part of the first signing day, whatever you want to call it. But for Andrew Ivins, our director of scouting here at 24/7 Sports, for our producer, Lance Glenn, guys, we appreciate you listening to the 24/7 Sports Football Recruiting Podcast. One more reminder, make sure you subscribe. Also, leave a comment as well and rate the show. We will see you tomorrow. Thanks for joining us. I'm Pete Zagna. See you then.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.